What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Monday.
It's Monday.
Doesn't it feel like a Monday?
You know what? 100% it feels like a Monday.
Yeah, this is about right.
I just want to say, false advertising, you never call it Mound City.
I have.
Hey, ooh.
I have. It is, St. Louis is known as Mound City.
I know it is. I learned that from...
Me.
That's right.
You're welcome. We used to have a bunch of mounds, you know?
Well, but see, I thought the mounds were in Cahokia.
Well, yes, but they were over here, too. There was a really big one they excavated.
Where did our mounds go?
They got excavated. They were the big one that was north of like where the Lumiere Casino Hotel is. Is it still the Lumiere?
No.
What is it even called?
I think...
Horseshoe?
Horseshoe.
Is it?
Yeah.
Whatever that is, there was one north of it. And it got excavated. I forgot what they used it for, but they took all the dirt away.
So, was it Lumiere, the candlestick, and Beauty and the Beast?
Yes.
That sounds right. That was French. The French candlestick, yes.
Lumiere, the candlestick.
So, 3 hours of this. 314-436-7900. Join the show with you till 12 o'clock. Then the Gas House Gang at noon, talking Cardinals baseball and more then. But we need your...
And listen, we really... really need you guys to join the show,
though.
Call and text, because the high school students can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right. They're in school.
They're in school and they can't have their phones.
They cannot. So, and that's a huge part of our market.
Huge demo.
The high school kids in class listening on the Odyssey app and texting in.
Yes.
314-436-7900. Also on the Odyssey app, I just mentioned, you can leave us a voice message. Just press the button that says send a message, and you could do that, record it, send it. You might get to hear it on the show. If you want to watch us, you can do that too on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. We are on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Amy said it, for a lot of kids in St. Louis, back to school today. And for those kids back in school that can't use their cell phones.
That's right. So we won't be hearing from them. But the St. Charles Data Center that we've been talking about, a huge meeting about a super secretive data center that may go into St. Charles, it may fail because two St. Charles council members have already signaled that they may vote no. The critical meeting is tomorrow night.
And also, the Cardinals get swept by the Yankees at Busch Stadium over the weekend, but a road trip begins tonight. They will play the Marlins in Miami. Then they got the Tampa Bay Rays over the weekend. One of those weird things where they play a three-game series against the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
They play Thursday, Friday, off Saturday, then they play Sunday.
Why would MLB schedule it that way?
I keep forgetting what it is. I don't know. There's something going on Saturday. I don't know.
Because this happened last year. There was either a holiday or a weekend day that there was no game, and it just felt... It felt counterintuitive to selling tickets.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday is such a great day to go to a baseball game, pretty much universally.
Yeah, well,
so whatever.
Okay, we're going to get into first day of school, but first, Robert, who's watching on YouTube, you can watch us on YouTube. He says, Lumiere, Disney Beauty and the Beast, voiced by Jerry Orbach, most famous from Law and Order.
Also, I believe, didn't he play the father in Dirty Dancing? I think so.
Wait,
I think
in the original Dirty Dancing.
Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was the dad.
And Jennifer, whatever her name is. He played her dad.
Gray. Jennifer Gray.
Jennifer Gray. That's
so
right.
Lumiere the Candlestick was the dad of Jennifer Gray in Dirty Dancing?
Allegedly.
And insane.
And I believe he's somebody's real dad, like famously. Like, isn't there a famous daughter of his? Or am I making that up? I don't know. Anyway, yes, that's correct, Lumiere. We also want you to know that this show is a service. It's not just highly entertaining and surprising and delightful. But we provide a service for you. And a texter, an early texter, this person texted the KMOX line like 3 hours ago. This is from Mailman Lou.
Oh, who says, what's up, Mailman Lou? We need postal workers.
That's right. He says, you guys inspired me back to school today, and I had my three boys wash bed sheets yesterday. Start the year off right. Didn't get to mine and my wife's sheets. Hopefully today.
Love it. Love it. See? He gets it.
And if we had not mentioned that your bed sheets are disgusting, he probably wouldn't have washed those
Here's
sheets.
Here's what I think. I think one of his kids is going to grow up, go into the military, become a general, like General Mark Kirtling from St. Louis.
Oh, my gosh.
Lead troops.
Yeah.
And be one of the most respected people in the country, in the history of the country. And he'll say it started when my dad, you know, the story started, like, my dad made me wash my bed sheets, and I learned the importance of that, which directly is related to us. We have just created one of the greatest Americans ever to live.
I wish my parents had instilled a little discipline in me.
I do too. We all do, honestly.
I mean, they tried, so just didn't take.
It's hard when you're the only child, because you can tell he's the only child, because
you think you're adorable. No, well.
And you love attention.
I mean, I don't love attention.
Yes, you do. Then why do you go around hitting people?
Oh, that's a great question. Why do I do that? I don't go around hitting people. I mean, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's not violent.
Like, yeah, it's just like a little, you know, poking.
Well, at any rate.
Poking and tickling. All right, Amy.
Yeah, get what's to
happening
work
today?
First day of school. So remember how last Monday we did the first day of school? It was what you would call a soft open.
Right. Because this is the week that everybody's back, basically.
A lot of maybe some private schools were back to school last week. And but most of the public schools, I think, start today, which is very exciting. But also Missouri has a new law that requires a ban on student use of cell phones and personal electronic devices during the school day. So this would love to hear from parents of different schools, school districts, 314-436-7900, whether you go to private school or public school. I'm looking at Parkway School, their cell phone policy now in compliance with the Missouri law requiring a ban. Well, we were wondering, like, will the kids put the phones like in bags in each classroom or in the hallway? But it looks like right now the way cell phones will be stashed, and we can follow up and see how this works at the different school districts, is that basically cell phones, which includes personal devices like smartwatches, tablets, and laptops, all need to be turned off and stowed away. So it sounds like the phones will be at least not in bags, my understanding. So they'll be turned off and stowed away. Students will be subject to disciplinary action, may have their devices confiscated if they violate the policy. But with their laptops, you think, well, don't kids use laptops? Yep, but the schools give Chromebooks. So you just have to use your school Chromebook.
And this is, by the way, all day. This is during lunch breaks and even passing periods.
Yes.
As soon as the first bell rings, your phone is off or away from you until the last bell.
Yep. And there are exceptions, obviously, to the cell phone policy. You can use your cell phone, a personal device, if there's emergency at school. And that could be a dangerous situation, like a fire, a safety threat to the school, an evacuation of school grounds, a medical emergency, tornado, and so forth. If you have a health-related purposes, such as you need to monitor a medical device, you can do that. Or a specific educational purpose approved or directed by teachers or staff. So again, I think this is great. I like the cell phones being turned off and stowed away in your bag. You can't have smartwatches. You can't have laptops. I guess there is a little bit more of a chance that kids can not turn their phones off or secretly access their phones or devices in their bags if the phones are on their person versus being locked up in a clear bag. But, you know, I think this is a step in the right direction. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the younger generation. We already know that some of the schools that were the tip of the spear for this, the schools that, like in California, had a whole class, freshman to senior, graduate, 4 years of no phones, found improvements across the board, from grades to anxiety to their ability to socialize, talk with their peers. I love that. We owe it to the kids to help protect them from smartphones.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And we have had so many discussions about it. And just look, there's plenty of data that still needs to be collected on just how much it affects kids, how much, because we know it affects all of us to an extent. Kids probably more just because they're so impressionable still, that using the cell phone all day is a problem. And I think that we will find out more and more as time goes on. And I think that, and this is probably a good moment to bring this, and this is Dr. Curtis Kane, who is the Rockwood superintendent. And he was telling KMOX about how this has gone down since they have tried it out.
What's going to be different moving forward is this notion of literally from bell to bell that the cell phone is not to be seen or heard throughout.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Today, and that is different from what we were doing last year. I think we're going to have to provide students some short-term grace and a lot of reminding of what the expectation, in this case, now state law, happens to be.
So, and another thing he said was that they had zero complaints from parents.
So insane.
Zero.
Do you know that never happens?
And so
That never happens.
And I imagine that that'll be fairly universal. You might get a, you got one here and there in different school districts. One person might call in and complain or email or whatever. But I think most people are really on board with doing this. And he was also talking about kids. And this is an idea that did not occur to me when we were having this conversation originally, when Michael Calhoun was doing the interview and they were talking about how at lunch it used to be that kids are just on their phones, not talking to each other. Like at the lunch table, they're not really conversing. They're on their phones, and that you're starting to hear chatter.
Cafeterias are loud again.
Yeah.
That's so good because
I didn't even think about that.
That's such a great point because it's a visual we can all picture, that loud cafeteria, whether we remember it ourselves or we see it in the movies. It would be creepy to walk into a quiet cafeteria because everyone's just looking down on their phones. And again, I love that they haven't received any complaints. I think the kids, like I said, we've talked to some kids about it where it needs to be everybody. Of course, a parent could tell their kid, you don't get a phone, but that can be kind of isolating for the kid.
Right.
And so during school, for the adults to do what they needed to do, which was pull back on this drug we've unleashed on the young generations and let them be kids again. It will be interesting to see if kids handle it better than like I would. Because if you said, okay, Amy, I forgot my phone. I didn't have it at work. I would probably feel the phantom buzz of the phone, or I would feel like, oh, I want to look this up.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't look it
totally.
Up. Totally. And, but I do think there would be relief after a while because I know there's relief on vacation, right? When you're hiking and you don't have any cell service, it just takes the pressure off of you. You don't have to use your own willpower not to look at your phone.
Do you love this idea? Is it as universally loved by the listenership, by people listening to this show, as we think it might be? Go ahead and tell us what you think. 314-436-7900. Also, because it is first day of school, let us know what your best or worst first day of school memory is. Do you have a bad one? Did something terrible happen to you?
Oh, come on.
I'd love to know if something bad happened.
That's sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always a good story.
Or if you have sent your kids to school today and how do you feel about the phones, right? Or how did your kids feel about first day of school? Some kids love it. Some kids, like Michael Kelly, still traumatized. He's still traumatized.
I know. Also, Bill, watching us on YouTube, says that the reason the Cardinals and Rays don't have a game Saturday is because the Buccaneers have a football game. We got a preseason game, so I guess they get the stadium.
Hmm.
Right. Anyway, that's all we do. We give information. Sometimes we crowdsource it. 314-436.
Sometimes we speculate.
And we do a lot of that. 314-436-7900. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Back to school today, baby. Not for me, though. There's nothing better than not having to go back to school.
Well,
it's awesome
there
to
is.
Never go back to school again.
You know what's better than not having to go back to school?
What?
Having the summers off, and we don't get that anymore.
Son of a...
I would go back to school if they said, Amy, if you go back to school today, you get June, July, and August off.
You know what? I hate homework. I hate homework.
All,
I hate stressing out over...
All work is homework when you homeschool.
I hate stressing out over tests. You know, just like, there's a big test tomorrow.
See, and I will say homework doesn't... Homework, I get the idea of homework. I've helped kids with homework, obviously, tutoring. But there was no such thing as homework because we just got our work done during the day.
I get it. And Amy, do you know what it's like
the
night before a math test for me?
I feel it's
incapacitating. I'm yakking and crying. It sucks.
If you guys are ever listening to this show and you think,
I'm bad
man,
at math.
I hate Chris Ranji. You know, he's just wrong. He's just wrong politically and everything. And you feel mad at him, think of this moment. Think of little Chris throwing up and crying because he's so nervous
about
his
math
test because he does not get the labyrinth that is the multiplication table.
Those numbers, what are they doing? I don't get it.
So
let's talk to Sue, visits us in St. Charles. Hello, Sue.
Hi. My brother and I had an interesting first day at a new school. Our dad's a pastor, and we moved to a little town in southern Missouri. The school bus came that morning, and we got on. I was in third. He was in first. And in the afternoon, we got on a bus, and we rode, and we rode. And everybody got off except us, and the driver looked at us and said, "So where do you live?" And we said, "We don't know. We live by a church."
Okay.
They didn't have addresses. We were just Route 2.
So then, how'd you get home?
The bus driver drove till he found a little white church, and that's where we lived.
Oh, my God.
Mom and Dad were like, but there was nobody to call back then. There was no transportation department. This was so long ago that we didn't even have an operator. When you picked up the phone, you didn't dial it. You told somebody whose number you wanted.
Oh, my gosh. Well, glad you finally made it home.
Thank you for calling
in. That could have been bad, Sue. You could have ended up in a different county.
I do miss.
New parents, new family.
I mean, you could have started all over.
Yeah, because back then,
parents were like, well.
A kid shows up on a doorstep. Yeah. It's just your kid now.
It's just your kid.
Yeah.
Or kid leaves the doorstep and that kid's gone. I will say this. I don't miss this because I never had it, but I wish we had it. I wish we had phone numbers with words in them now. Like Buckingham 728. My mom had a phone number like that. There was a word in her phone number.
You mean like on the... how each number has three letters and it spells out something?
No, you would say, please someone,
you pick up that phone, the clack, clack, that you pick up that thing and then you'd say, the operator would pick up and then you'd say, I need Buckingham 752.
Or Eddie 241. Pam probably had this. Pam, if you're listening, text me.
That sounds awful.
I
just
love it.
It sounds awful to have to go through life like that.
If you remember the word that was in your phone number, 314-436-7900.
Tim in Arnold joins the show. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, folks. I have one. I'm 62 years old, and back in the day when I was five, going to kindergarten, I won't name any schools, but we lived in the city, and we would meet before school on the playground, and then after so long, the bell would go off and everybody would line up. I thought it was just like being in the Army. I didn't know anybody. And we all marched in the classrooms, and they had very big classrooms. They had a front door and a back door. Well, I was just shaking in my boots. By the time the teacher would go to the blackboard, start writing a lesson, I was out the back door, down the steps and heading home. And I crossed a very busy Grand Avenue street, and I beat my mom and sister home, who walked me to school. I just took a different route.
What?
And I would hide under the back porch until my sister ratted me out. And this went on for a couple of months. Finally, they bribed me with a fire truck or something. But I was just, the smell of the new clothes, the new pencils, the crayons. I didn't know anybody. And it was, I think about it and laugh now, but I was really traumatized back then.
Oh, poor Tim. We're glad you're okay, Tim.
He beat his mom and sister home.
What the hell? Can you imagine they get home? What are you doing here?
Wait.
We just dropped you off.
Oh, that's adorable.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
That's how I feel. That's how I felt going to school. School was one of those things for me that if I didn't want to go, but by the time I got there and was there and settled in, by the end of the day, I didn't want to leave. It's weird.
Okay.
That's how I felt.
You told me that earlier, like once you, maybe it's like you accepted your fate.
I guess.
But it's hard to change that, yeah, routine. Mm-hmm. Okay, my mom said her word was Underhill. Like you would say Underhill something something.
Mary from Baldwin texted in, she says it was Lafayette 7.
Can you imagine?
And somebody texted in and said Hemlock 1.
That can't be true, is it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is it the address? Is that the address of the house you're calling?
What does that mean? Question mark.
I don't know.
No, I don't know. But imagine you are at a club or a bar. Yeah. You don't go to clubs. You go to bars. You can't wear a hat like that in a club. And you show up and there's a lady and you're like, hey, I'd like to call you sometime. And then she's like, my number is Underhill 471. That's so cool.
I would love to dial a...
I don't know what you do with the word, though. Do you tell somebody the
word? I don't
know.
Is that how you got a hold of women back then? I thought you had to call on her. Didn't you have to show up at the house?
Well, they invented phones.
Yeah, they did.
That was pre...
So give...
Pre-phone.
Give us your first day memories, good or bad. We love to hear them. 314-436-7900. It's Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Weaver's one strike pitch, a swing, and a fly ball center field. Grisham shading his eyes, waits for it. He makes the catch, and this ball game has come to an end. The Yankees swept the Cardinals this weekend, winning today 8-4.
That wasn't a great weekend at Busch. By the way, we thank you for everybody participating and giving us their old phone numbers.
But
we do.
We have to talk
about the
Cardinals. We appreciate you calling in. Honestly, our boss doesn't want us to do a whole show on phone numbers. He told us he can't do a show on phone numbers.
Yeah.
He can't just get people's phone numbers.
Yeah. Let's go to Tim on the South City.
My phone number is...
I was Hampton 555. Okay, great. Thanks. All right. Let's talk to Joan. Okay, we're not doing that, but thank you.
Yeah, if you're mad, just email Steve and say, hey, I was one of those people. Okay. But when I say we appreciate you, we do. Our jobs are contingent on you being involved in this show.
Right.
Pretty much.
So, I don't know what are you trying to do to us? So
no, that's what they were doing. They were
helping.
That's why we don't want to trivialize their contribution. At any rate, continue.
So the St. Louis Cardinals, your baseball team, over the weekend, not a particularly good weekend for them against the Yankees. They were swept by New York, pretty good baseball team. We know what the season has become and how difficult it's been and where they are as an organization. But there's just something, if you've not been following along this year, it is highly unusual for us, at least in the last 20 years. We are not used to seeing a Busch Stadium that is relatively empty. Mm-hmm. And Derek Gould wrote about this in the Post-Dispatch today, that they are now, and it's very easy to find the attendance numbers and look them up. I'm not sure how many people even think about it or think to do so. But they are now ranked 19th in the big leagues in attendance with 28,000, almost 28,900 per game. That is an average. That is so much lower than what we are used to because they had a run for 7 years from 2013 through 2022 where they were second in attendance, usually. I mean, think about this. We're talking about the Dodgers had the best attendance in baseball And then the Cardinals were always right there at like number two.
They were always sandwiched between the Dodgers and the Yankees for the most part.
Which is amazing that this market drew that many people. And even going back almost 20 years to 2006, we have not seen this team have a ranked attendance lower than seventh. People support the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Cardinals fans come out for this team, and a lot of it is based on winning. Because they had pretty good competitive teams in the 2000s. Really, not until the last 3 years or so have they started to struggle in terms of competitiveness. But that is that's striking to see that number. And I went to the game on Friday night. It was, by the way, gross, which is not the Cardinals' fault. Yeah. The weather, you can't do anything about it. It had cooled off from like the 100 or whatever it was early in the day, but it was so dense. The air was just so muggy. And I know that sometimes that keeps people away, but it doesn't really explain the entire season. So, I just think it is really remarkable that we're in this place right now.
It is. And I will say this about the Heat. The Heat keeps people away from a bad team. It doesn't keep people away from a good team.
That's right.
If you win, they're there.
Yeah.
Same with like, it's crime or people don't want to go downtown. It doesn't stop them when they're winning. It doesn't stop them from seeing the Savannah Bananas. It's just another excuse, seems cruel, but just another excuse or just another reason piled on top of the main reason. The primary reason being that the team's not winning. They're just not winning, and it's not fun to lose a lot. And I get that they could be worse, and they're still, at least before the sweep from the Yankees and the bad Rockies series, they were very much in it.
So,
But the Rockies are outdrawing the Cardinals.
Yeah, which is wild.
Which is wild. I will do the one caveat that in Denver, they have made Coors Field just like a ball to go to. It's an event. Right. My sister, I could say, hey, I have a suite to go to Cardinals games. Let's go to the Cardinals game. I've got a suite. It'll be great. Oh, no, that's okay. She's just not a sports person. But she got wrangled into going to a game in Denver because it was just an event. And they swung by and then left. But there's that. But the Rockies are outdrawing the Cardinals.
And the Cardinals understand what's going on now. This is from the Gould piece. Vice President of Ticket Sales Joe Strom, he talked to Gould, and his quote is, "Fans have a right to voice their pleasure or displeasure, and we know there is work to get people back. We have to earn them back. That's the entertainment industry. You've got to earn people's discretionary income." So they understand it, and they understand that it is about winning. You could do all the stuff on the fringes, have a good environments, good atmosphere, activities, things for people to do at the ballpark, giveaways. You could do all of that all you want, but nothing supplements a winning team. But what we know about the Cardinals fan base, and I'm saying this as somebody who spent a lot of time with a completely different organization with how the fan base responded to them winning. So in my time working with the Sox, even if they were good, it was sometimes a struggle to get people to the ballpark. They just, they're a extremely skeptical fan base. They want it to be proven to them first. And they not only want it to be proven to them a little bit, they want it proven over and over and over again before they start buying tickets. Cardinals fans have shown, and the evidence is clear, that if the team is good and all it takes is one season, they're coming out. Cardinals fans are coming out for this team. And I don't think it would take very long to earn that trust back. So to get people back in the seats.
Yeah.
And we don't know how long this rebuild is going to take. It could be 2 years. Some people think it could be pretty quick, that by 2027, provided there's no lockout, which it kind of looks like there's going to be, this team could be pretty good by then. Some people think it's going to take 3, 4, or 5 years. Which I hope it doesn't take that long, but I can see it taking that long. The bottom line is, though, people will come back to this team when they're good again. And I think that that's a testament to what Cardinals fans are and how supportive they have been historically of this team.
What role do you think the season ticket price increase of 2 to 3% plays in people renewing or not, or buying season tickets or not? Is it like the weather that it affects a bad team? It doesn't affect a team that's winning a lot. I shouldn't say bad team. It affects a moderate, mediocre team.
Yeah, they're not a bad team.
Yeah, they're not a bad team. I shouldn't say a bad team. A if the Cardinals were winning, people might complain about the 2-3% price increase, but they still are buying tickets.
Mm-hmm.
If the Cardinals aren't winning and the fans don't have a vision, they don't understand the vision of the front office, they're not sure a vision is there. They're like, okay, we've got J.J. Weatherholt, but other than that, what are we looking forward to? It may be a bit of a deterrent.
I think it's a little bit of one. I don't think it's a significant deterrent when it's just 2-3%. If they were to do like 10-20%, then you might have a lot of people saying, well, I'm not doing that. I mean, thanks, but no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that for a lot of people, maybe they've just had tickets for a long time and they want to keep it. You know, they want to keep the ones they have. It also depends on demand. Like if there's a waiting list for season tickets, which I know there's not, but if there were a waiting list, you would definitely not give those up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd hang on to them because you know the team is probably going to be good again within the next few years. And I think they are. I think they are moving in the right direction, or at least the plan looks good. And the plan is to make the minor league system better so that they continually churn out talent, guys who can play at the big league level. And if you're not doing that, you just can't sustain winning. You have to be able to spend in free agency. You have to be able to make shrewd trades.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be good in that area. But if you don't have a strong foundation, which is what Chaim Bloom, the new president of baseball operations soon, that's what he's here to do, is build that up. And if they build that up right, then they can get back to what they were 15 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, and again, like whether it is the hot temperatures, the humidity, it's just gross outside. Maybe people don't want to drive downtown. Maybe they're irritated by parking prices. It's really just those are ancillary or secondary to the primary reason of the Cardinals not consistently winning. Because I'm trying to think of a sin that winning doesn't cover. What could the team do that fans wouldn't come to the stadium if they're winning consistently?
Man,
I can't think of anything.
Fans are forgiving for winners.
They are. If the Cardinals are just winning, plowing through to the playoffs, what would keep fans away?
This is pretty dark.
Oh, geez.
But I'm serious about this. Think about players who get accused of sexual assault or something and fans come out to defend them because they're good. They're good players.
Oh, no, that's what
I
mean.
And I'm talking
like
other sports.
Yeah.
I was in Chicago when the Patrick Kane thing happened, and I don't know if he did or did whatever he didn't do. I'm not sure. But he was accused of it, and the default position for every Blackhawks fan was he didn't do anything wrong.
So this was like,
because they were winning.
This was 20 years ago, maybe more, because I think I might have been in high school. But I listened to like ESPN national radio a lot in the morning shows, and some quarterback, it wasn't like the Ben Roethlisberger thing, but it was something else. And I'm offended by the cavalier attitude, which with the host were just like, dude, if you can throw a ball, I don't care. Off the field doesn't matter to me if you can throw a ball. And I hate it, but I think that's how a lot of people, a lot of sports fans view their team.
In every city, Amy.
If you're winning, people will show up. I can't think of a single winning team that doesn't pack the stadium.
In every city.
Yeah.
Every city, every fan base.
Most sports.
In the world.
Yeah.
Will defend a team that's good.
Yeah.
And it almost doesn't matter what the infraction is.
I feel like we should look deeper into this. It's actually a crazy human psychology experiment. Think of how high and mighty we are as a culture. Think of, this is 2025. You can't do that, 2025. Unless you can throw a ball, at which point, do whatever you want.
You can get away with so...
Isn't that insane?
If you're a great quarterback, you can get away with anything.
When I was a high schooler, I was like started writing an essay because this is the type of high schooler I was. It was like how to get away with murder and other things I've learned from the NFL. And it was basically just learn how to throw a ball and you'll be okay in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, you know, there were all these scandals. And then obviously the Ray Rice situation. If that video hadn't come out of him beating up his girlfriend and dragging her unconscious by the hair out of the elevator, the NFL would have said, 2-game suspension. You're fine. It's crazy. Now we've gone really, really dark. But I think the point is, when you win, nothing will keep fans out of the seats.
Nothing will keep them from supporting you. And the Cardinals have the fans' support, and they're always going to, but it's just a matter of people saying, yeah, I'm going to spend my money on the team right now, or no, I'm not.
Yeah.
And but they're always going to be Cardinals fans. They're not going to jump ship. They're not going to become Pirates fans or Cubs fans or anything else. They will just maybe wait a little bit before they come back to the ballpark.
And I will say the definition of winning is different for every fan base. And I think with the Cardinals, if they were moderately competitive, fans showed up. So I'm not poo-pooing that.
Of course.
I'm just saying ultimately for any team. Robert points out the Tampa Bay Rays have been pretty competitive.
And they can't draw.
And they can't draw.
At all.
Yeah.
Unless the playoffs come around, and even then they have a tough time.
So maybe that's the fly in the ointment.
That's Amy Mark's Scores. I'm Chris Ronji. We come back, did you see this?
That's right.
It's coming up. We have Scott Warman joining the show at 10:30. We'll talk a little Cardinals baseball with him. Scott from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Chris Saliza will talk to us at 11 o'clock about the Trump-Zelensky meeting. We got a lot coming up on the show today. Glad you're with us on 104.1 FM KMOX.
104.1 FM KMOX. Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Amy, do you love SportsCenter?
I love SportsCenter.
Did you watch it back in the mid-90s when it was just, it was really at its peak then?
So I couldn't watch it all the time because we didn't have cable. But I watched it early 2000s when we got cable.
So mid to late 90s, and then into, you know, the early aughts, SportsCenter was the best, just the absolute best. It's still good. It's just that we don't need it as much as we used to because you can get highlights whenever you want them, wherever you want, right? Rich Eisen is coming back tonight. Rich Eisen, who was a very well-known SportsCenter anchor, one of maybe the two most popular ever.
Him
I guess
and
three.
Steve.
Steve.
Steve Levy?
Well, no, Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick.
Steve Levy, yes.
He was a SportsCenter guy. Yeah. I think that's when I got it. I think it's when I got cable, because Steve Levy was the host when I got cable.
The probably the most popular ever, like, Rich Eisen, Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann, Charlie Steiner. Those are probably the guys, right? Well, Eisen, from 96 to 2003, was on SportsCenter. He's coming back tonight. The Rich Eisen show is coming back to ESPN, but he is anchoring SportsCenter 10 o'clock our time.
A guest? Or
he's anchoring. Well, I don't think it's going to be. Yeah, it's a guest spot.
Because I will say, I didn't watch the Rich Eisen SportsCenter, but again, with social media, I am on the algorithm that feeds me all of the Rich Eisen interview clips, and he has some of the best interviews.
He does really great. Yeah, he interviews some real legit celebrities.
Yeah, big names, really good interviews. Okay, speaking of legit celebrities, the Philly Fanatic has...
Oh, I love the Fanatic.
...has some tips for you, because Ronj, it's an armpit outside.
Gross.
And how are you going to go up and meet the ladies if you're an armpit and you're sweaty? The Philly Fanatic says this is his tip. You take a squeegee bottle... And you fill it with 1/3 vodka and 2/3 water. And then you just spray your head and spray your body with vodka water to neutralize the smell as you prance around the ballpark.
So vodka water? What?
Yeah.
I use vodka water and what?
Vodka and water.
And that's it?
1/3 vodka, 2/3 water in a squeegee bottle or a spritzer. Just spritz yourself.
That's all I need?
That's what he does to keep the stank away.
Well, okay. That's interesting.
Do you know what I know? If you do happen to have a bottle of witch hazel, you can get it at Walgreens, like a big bottle of witch hazel. I think that kind of does the same thing. It's an anti-stink, and you can put it on like a paper towel and some water and just wipe yourself down.
Okay. Are we not doing deodorant?
Well, you can't reapply deodorant if you're the Philly Fanatic in the middle of a game. This is like if you're at the ballpark.
Okay.
Or you're at a fair or a festival.
Well, not many of us are not wearing... giant furry outfits that cover our entire bodies when we go to the ballpark.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I'm amazed at how good Fred Bird smells. Fred Bird does not stink.
Matt.
I'd never want to smell him. I don't care if it is good.
Well, if he comes up to you, you can't help but smell him. I'm not like putting my nose
I've
in his pits.
I've never smelled Fred Bird, which I think says a lot.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Does a really good job of staying clean. Good job, Fred Bird.
So hot.
It really is. Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji. This is the Chris and Amy Show. We've got hour two of the show coming up next. And Matt, our producer, just went on a vacation. He was gone last week. You probably didn't notice. He was...
if you might have noticed, it was an extra good week of shows.
Oh, my God. Things went so well last week. But Matt was gone, and we have some travel tips because Matt thinks he is the perfect traveler, and the rest of you don't know how to do it right. So we'll talk about that next on KMOX.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.